freedom is not a question of place, where you are.
Hi there, and greetings to everyone seeking and hoping to find the true meaning of life, those sick and tired of this poisonous world whose soul and spirit are bleeding, and of the emptiness and futility of this materialistic civilization. Welcome to our radio show, The Way, The Truth, The Life. Welcome to our world of supreme love and immortality, where all human hopes are fulfilled. Welcome to the world of Orthodox Christian spirituality, a world now unknown to the West, which once had the key, but lost it a long time ago, the key that has an answer to every question. My name is Monk Arsenije Jovanović. I live in the monastery of Ostrog, Montenegro. It is never too easy to talk on spiritual issues, especially when it has to be in foreign language, which is English to me. I apologize in advance for possible mistakes. However, I believe God will help me to say the word and you to understand it. So, let us embark on our waves.
Hi there, my dear friends. I'm back with my story about the precious pearl, the pupil of the human life, the health of the soul and the joy of the spirit, live contact with the living God, with the creator of the universe, live contact with the supreme love, and with the eternal life, the absolute feeling of absolute immortality. So now I am finally deep into the my beginnings of Orthodox Christianity. I am in my apartment in Brooklyn alone, being saved from disaster that threatened me with losing my van. Finally, I have acquired enough money working with Marco, the Slovenian guy, and now I had enough savings so I could quit with Marco, being myself alone and doing my small contracts and small moving businesses and artworks. So with God's help, to my immense and the biggest happiness of my life, I managed to quit cigarette smoking and taking drugs. Although I was never really a heavy user of narcotics, first of all heroin, but I was a heavy smoker of marijuana and hashish, of course, if there was some, since when I came to New York, United States didn't have hashish like we used to have in Europe, but there was a big variety of marijuana. And it was a serious poison that I was taking. So with great God's help, I have managed, after more than 10 years of heavy smoking, to quit marijuana as well. Finally, I felt really clean, and I felt such a beautiful freedom, because real freedom is when you free yourself from yourself. Freedom is not a question of place where you are, whether in jail or outside. But question of freedom is the question of being free from your passionate will, from your sinful will, from your fallen state, from your fallen nature. And what is the use of being free outside in the world, but heavy slave of your passions and bad habits? So with a prayer, with attending Holy Liturgy, taking communion, I was acquiring more and more every day a strength, a certain strength that I didn't have before. But there was one more thing that I was doing, and it was that was not blessed by the Lord and subsequently by the church as well. And that was a sex with women, of course, because other kind of sex was not my interest. And this was one of those things that I used to do, and relatively often in my youth, changing women, changing girls, and it never made me happy. That was the problem. I thought, okay, this one will be the right one. This one will be the real one. And this one will make me happy. So then we meet, then we go together for a while, and then we have sex. And after this, again and again, I realize, I understand that that's not it, what I'm looking for. That doesn't give me a real satisfaction. It does give certain satisfaction for a while, but only for a while. And after a certain time, not only that this girl doesn't give me satisfaction anymore, but more than that, we become enemies. We start to hate each other, because sex which is not blessed by the Lord, or that is to say, by the church, or actually by the church marriage, is actually a ritual for invoking a Satan. Well, I know that many of you who are going to listen to this will say, oh, one more fanatic, one more church fanatic. But maybe I am. But I am fanatic as every Christian who is conscious of seriousness of the situation. And like man who had many sexual partners in my youth, and who really tasted what does it mean to have sex without God's blessing, it always turns out that you start to avoid at the best, but mostly there develops a hatred between partners who have sex only for getting pleasure, only for enjoyment, without real love, without deep love, without blessing of the church, and without really having intention to make a children. Of course, sex, sexual intercourse between man and wife, it's not absolutely there because for the children, making children. It's there for complete unification between man and wife, and as a crown to have this bodily contact. But the consequence of it is conceiving a child, giving birth to a child. So it is inseparable, having sex and having children. So having sex without strong intention to have children is something like just for light enjoyment. And this is not blessed by the Creator of the universe. It is not blessed by Him who created the nature and who gave us life. And more than that, who gave us this possibility of procreation. And how often I found myself in the situation to wake up next morning, and besides me to have a girl that sometimes I don't even remember the name, that we met maybe that evening somewhere in some nightclub, and being drunk or stoned on some drug, get together and have sex, and tomorrow morning I don't really know, I don't really remember who she really is. And that would be even without great problem, because she goes away, I go away, so we don't meet each other. Although very bitter taste stays always in my soul after this kind of events. But if we stay together for a while and we became lovers for a long time, then it would always turn to be like really unpleasant relationship, and it would be always finally some kind of hatred. We would become enemies. Why? Because we didn't invoke God, we this way invoked Satan, or the one who is the enemy of the Lord. You call it as you want, but this is how it turns out. So I understood that I had to stop with this, but it was not easy. It was also like some kind of addiction, whether it was masturbating or actual intercourse with girl. And of course, I had, and at that time, I had several relations with women at that time. And of course, they also didn't want to quit with me. At that time, it was three of them. There was one black girl, very beautiful one, but she had three children, I remember, three sons. It was really crazy. She was very young. She was married to some music producer, pretty successful one, but then they divorced and she stayed with three little sons. And then we met and we became lovers. But at the same time, I had two more, because I was never faithful, because I didn't know why do I have to be faithful, because the whole civilization is centered towards this idea that you have to have a lover, and it's good, it's normal. It's not normal to stay without a lover, to stay without sex. And even if somebody is virgin, then it's something really pathological, of course, for this world. And that's why I was never married, but I was not faithful even to my girlfriend. And what it would be if I got married? It would be really a disaster. And that's how it goes in this crazy world. We do not have responsibility. We do not have responsibility because we don't know to whom do we have to be responsible. We have to be responsible to Him who created us, who gave us this life, and who arranged this. But we spoiled it. We did it absolutely wrongly, in a wrong way. So there was especially one. She was a Swedish girl, very beautiful one, blonde and very nice one. And she really didn't want to quit with me. And she was calling me and she was waiting for me and she was asking what happened with me, why I don't want to meet her anymore. And I was avoiding telephone calls and I was trying to be like I traveled somewhere out of New York and it was really hard. But at the same time, it was not easy to me as well. I was remembering her beautiful face and her naked body laying beside me in the bed and having sex with her and other girls as well. And I remember I was already an Orthodox Christian and I started to pray and to invoke Jesus' name and to I entered the cleaning of my soul and my spirit. But still, in the very beginning, it was the first month of my conversion, I still had few times a contact with this girl. And it was very similar when I would smoke marijuana. When I would come back, for several days after that, I couldn't pray. I didn't have this live touch, live contact with the living God. I didn't have this feeling of supreme love, of this divine, unmaterial love. And I remember when I had sex with this woman, even longer than after smoking marijuana, I was feeling so empty and so without energy, so dead in a way, spiritually. I couldn't read Psalter, I couldn't read spiritual books, I couldn't pray. I was full of certain terrible heaviness. And finally I have realized, you cannot sit on two chairs, man. You cannot make love to different spirits. If you want to make love with the Holy Spirit, then you have to do this only with Him. Otherwise, it will be very dangerous to you. Otherwise, you will suffer, because He will leave you and leave you without Him, without His love, only with human love, which was sweet before I met this divine love. But after divine love, it became so distasteful, became so empty, and so without any real deep meaning and satisfaction. And as I was praying before trying to quit narcotics, I was praying all the time, God, please help me to get rid of drugs. So now I started to pray, Lord God, God the Father, please save me. Give me strength to quit having sex with women, because I want to make love only to you, only with you. I want only your love. I don't need human love anymore until I make a definite decision whether I get married or I go to monastery and become monk, because I have already realized from spiritual books that there are only two ways, church marriage or another type of marriage, which is direct marriage to the Lord, which is called monastic tonsure, that is to say, to become monk and go out from the civilization and to live in the monastery. So finally and slowly, I had this release from being addicted to the sexual intercourse with women. And that was more or less final victory over my bodily passions. Because I was not sure yet whether I'm going to stay in the world or whether I go to a monastery. I have not really decided that I will become celibate, that I will become somebody who is not going to have sex anymore in his life. Of course, I was thinking about marriage. I was thinking about having wife and children. But until that moment, I have made a strong decision not to have this empty sex with women anymore. And after this, after a while, the prayer became so profound, the prayer became so strong and so full of God's grace. And from that period on, when I became clean even from sexual intercourse, the enlightenment in prayers became much more often. Maybe once a week I would receive this enlightenment in my prayer. I would be enlightened from this divine light during the prayer. And that was so sublime feeling. It was a real feeling of immortality and eternal life and of supreme love. It is really hard to explain how does a man feel when he is filled with this divine light. And I can remember that period when I was meditating and when I was the member of Transcendental Meditation, and of course Zen Buddhist meditations that I was practicing as well, besides Transcendental Meditation. And I have remember very often, and in the books as well, how they were talking about enlightenment as the supreme achievement in the yoga in general, or in Buddhism as well. But then I have realized that, and of course I have never had this kind of enlightenment during the meditation. It was some kind of excitement, but it was always and only on the psychological level, neurological level, but it was not in spiritual level. It was never on spiritual level. And now, when I dedicated myself completely to the prayer, this enlightenment would come really often to me, and I was so astonished being witness of this beautiful happening, of this beautiful event that happens to me, that the very Lord, the very Creator of the universe, would come down to me a little warm, and in those beautiful moments He would make myself a small God, a God by grace. And of course, another very important thing was fasting. I have found in books And of course, I have heard in the church, attending the Holy Liturgy, and talking with my first spiritual father, Father Makary, that fasting is extremely important in the spiritual life, because when our body is completely satisfied with enough food and enough sleep, it becomes heavy and it cannot soar high. It cannot get above this material world and it cannot reach the spiritual realm. So in Orthodox Church there are fasting days. It is Wednesday and Friday, because Wednesday the Lord was captured and in Friday he was crucified and he died. So that's why we fast Wednesday and Friday through the whole year. And it means that we do not eat anything from the animals. And in the stricter level, especially in the monasteries, we do not take even oil in those days, but we fast only with water. The food is prepared without oil. Monks, of course, they fast Monday as well, because Monday is dedicated to the angels. And then, of course, we have four great Lenten periods, and the most strict one is the period before Easter. It's called Great Lent. Then there is another big Lenten period. It's Christmas Lent. And then there are two smaller ones. The fasting period before the feast of Saint Peter and Paul the Apostles. And the fourth one is dedicated to the Holy Virgin Mary. So I started to fast, and I have lost some weight, I have to admit, but I felt really good. I felt so healthy, I felt so light and easy, even on this material level, even on the level of my body. I felt very healthy, strong and light. But spiritually, it was much, much more important, because I have realized how my prayer flies higher when my stomach is empty. Of course, that doesn't mean that I was starving and that I was hungry all the time. No, of course. We have to be very careful with this, and to make each one of us, we have to make our own measure. It's not same for everyone. It depends on our bodily construction, on our bodily weight, and it depends how heavy do we work. Are we physical workers or something else? So everybody has to make his own measurement. How much does he have to eat? It means that you don't get too skinny, too weak, but at the same time it means that you don't have to have fat on your body. When you have fat on your stomach, it means that your metabolism is pushing it away, because it doesn't need that much. And being a little more skinnier than usual is better than to be more fat. Fat bird cannot fly high. So I entered this ascetical life as something most beautiful. And people of this world, especially in the West, unfortunately, because of Roman Catholic Church and even more because of Protestant churches, they are looking at fasting as something morbid, something pathological, something bad. Because first of all, the Roman Catholic Church, they reduced fasting to the useless minimum, being afraid that if they put this burden of fasting to their believers, to their faithful, they are going to escape the church, which is absolutely wrong. So in the Roman Catholic Church today, we have a very symbolical fasting, not fasting almost at all. And in the Protestant Church, there is no fasting, absolutely. Because when Martin Luther made a division between new established church called Protestant Church, he said, we do not need good deeds, we need only faith, which is a great mistake. Because he was true that we need faith, but we have to approve our faith somehow in front of the Lord, which means that those ascetical feats, those ascetical deeds of ascesis, of ascetical tradition is extremely important to show our faith. Because when I say to some girl, I love you, and if I tell her 100 times a day, I love you, my sweetheart, but I do not do anything for her, that is to say, I do not sacrifice anything, I do not show in real that I really love her, she's going to say, okay man, don't give me that I love you, do something for me, do some small sacrifice. And that is absolutely with the Lord. When I only say, oh, I believe in Lord, that's the most what I have to do, that's not enough. We have to do all those things that we sacrifice something for the Lord. And what we can sacrifice, those things that we love to do. To sleep long, to eat a lot, to drink a lot, to have sex, to do many things. So it becomes reciprocal. The less you get these worldly consolations and enjoyments, the more you acquire heavenly ones, divine ones. And unfortunately, people from the West, because they have realized that the church collapsed, they did terrible mistake and they said God collapsed. But that's absolutely wrong. If church people do mistakes and do wrong things, that doesn't mean that the Lord doesn't exist. It means that He's there and He's sad about it, but He's there and He will be there. It would be the same if a blind man from his birth says, well, sun doesn't exist, but that doesn't really mean that sun really doesn't exist. Sun is there, shining like it always did. Only the blind man doesn't see it, and his statement it is that sun doesn't exist only because his eyes are sick. That's what happened with people in the West. They became spiritually sick, they lost faith, they lost God's grace. And because of this withdrawal of the God's grace, because of the sin of the church prelates, they came to the conclusion that the God doesn't exist. And because of that, we don't have to do anything ascetical anymore in our life, especially not to fast, to keep vigils, and to restrain from sex, which is a terribly sad mistake. So it was this really beautiful period of my life. I became really absolutely clean in terms of my body, of course. My soul was still very dirty. My spirit was dirty. Spirit was very sinful. And it was only a beginning of long process of cleansing of my spirit and my soul. But I have to say that I really managed, by God's help, to quit those things that spoil my body, which was taking drugs, having sex, and living in a real bad manner. So this really I could feel, because my heart became very light, very free from the passions. So I could soar high in my prayer, especially during the night hours, when I would wake early in the morning, sometimes 1 o'clock in the morning, sometimes 2 o'clock in the morning, and then to pray until the dawn.
Blagoslovi duše moja Gospoda, blagosloven jesi Gospodi. Blagoslovi duše moja Gospoda, i sjanotenja ja moja, imja svjetoje Jego. Blagoslovi duše moja Gospoda, i ne zabivaj se ozdajani Jego. Očišćajuša gosja bezakonija Tvoja, izcjeljajuša gosja nedugi Tvoja, izbavljajuša go od istenija život Tvoj, vjenčajuša go Tja milostiju i šedrotami. Ispolnjajuša go blagi želanije Tvoje, obnovića jako orlja junost Tvoja. Tvoja i milostinji Gospod, i sudbu sjem obidi mi, skaza puti svoja moj se obi, s sinovom Izraeljevi kotjenija svoja. Čedari milosti Gospod, mnogo trpjeljiv i mnogo milosti, ne do konca prognjevajec ja, niže vovijek vraždujet. Ne po bezakonijem našim sotvoril jest nam, niže po grijehom našim vozdal jest nam. Jako po visotje nebesti od zemlji, utvrdil jest Gospod milo svoju, nabojaši sja jego. Jeliko stojatvo stoci od zapad, udalili se od nas bezakonija naša, jako že šedri dotecini, ušedri Gospod bojaši sjo jego, iako to i pozna sozdanije naše, omjanu jako perst je smi. Čelovjek jako trava nije jego, jako cjecelni tako osjete, jako duh projde njemi ne bude, i ne poznaje k tomu mjesta svojego. Miloše Gospodja od vijeka i do vijeka nabojaši sja jego, i pravda jego na sinje sinov pranjaši zavjet jego, i pomnjaši zapovjedi jego tvoriti ja. Gospod na nebesi ugotovo presto svoj, i carstvo jego sjenio mladajet. Blagoslovite Gospoda si angeli jego, silni krijepnosti otvorjaši slovo jego, uslišati glas sloves jego. Blagoslovite Gospoda sija sili jego, sluhi jego otvorjaši volju jego. Blagoslovite Gospoda sija djela jego, na svakom mjestu vladičestva jego. Blagoslovi duše moja Gospoda, slava Otcu i Sinu i Svjetomu Duhu, i nije i prisno i vo vijeki vjekova mi. Blagoslovi duše moja Gospoda, i sjanu Святое Его, благословение си, Господи.
Welcome to our radio show, The Way, The Truth, The Life.
I was attending church very frequently, very disciplined. I attended Holy Liturgy every Sunday, and I was taking communion regularly every Sunday, sometimes even more when there was a feast day, so when would be a celebrate some Lord's feast or some feast of the Holy Mother of the Lord or of some saints. And my iconography apprenticeship was really going very well. My iconography teacher Daniel was a very good man, a very good teacher. He knew the art of painting icons very well, and he was a very good technician. He was really a professional in this art, and of course as well he was very nice man, very spiritual man, very good Christian, and he conveyed this to me together, his spirituality and his painting skill. And I was extremely happy. That was really great period of my life, because before that I was a very unhappy young man. Maybe it was not visible from outside, but only myself, I knew very well how empty and unsatisfied I was in my youth, and how it all changed when I acquired the Holy Spirit and the Lord's love through the prayer and the whole liturgical cycles. In the beginning, I had lessons 2 times a week with Daniel, and it was always very important and very good to me to come to the apartment in the attic of the church. It was like a oasis. It was like a small part of the world which was so safe to me. They were so good people. And when I would come to the apartment and when they received me, I felt so secure, so safe, so protected from all the evil influences in New York City. And especially in our studio, it was like a paradise to me. And very soon it became not enough those 2 days a week, those only 2 lessons a week. And after 2 months of my learning, I acquired enough courage to ask Daniel if it would be possible to receive me more often. And it looks like he was expecting something like this from me. So he said, "Atsa, my friend, of course, you can come more often. If you want, you can come every day." So when I heard this, I wanted to hug him, I wanted to kiss him. I was ready to yell from joy, because it meant so much to me. Not only because of the church and the prayer and the liturgy, but as every young man, I was really looking for my actual profession. What profession is going to be real mine in my life? What is this going to be? What kind of profession will be mine in my life? There must be something that I am born for. And during those first lessons, I have realized that this is iconography. Of course, from my very youth, I was inclined towards art, but I didn't know what kind of art, what stream of art, what branch of painting or sculpting or whatever. And then finally, in this church in New York City, I understood that this is iconography. And it was beautiful synthesis of profession and the spiritual life, because I couldn't see myself anymore doing anything else which would distract me from the prayer. And painting icons is actually a prayer, because when you paint a saint's face, or especially when you paint face of the very Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, it is a prayer to him. When you paint an icon of Holy Mother of the Lord, Virgin Mary, it is a prayer to her. It is a communion with her. And the icon painters, they know. It is like painting an icon, it is like a holy liturgy. And the crown of the holy liturgy is a communion. So when you paint an icon, it is like you are attending a holy liturgy. And finishing this icon, it is usually finishing with eyes. You do first the robes, then you do hands and the face, and finally you finish, the last touch is in eyes. You finish with eyes. And at that moment, those eyes, the saint or the very Lord looks at your eyes. It is contact between eyes, and it is like a communion. Finally, you commune with the Holy Spirit, and it is the crown of painting on one icon. So that's how I was feeling painting icons. It was a prolonged prayer. So that's why it was extremely important to me to learn iconography, to learn to paint icons well, because I have realized if I stay in the world, if I get married, I will be a professional iconographer. In the meantime, I also managed to learn how to paint the murals, because Fatma Kari and Daniel, they made a contract with, there was an Orthodox church in Yonkers, upstate New York, where they were painting the whole church from inside, because the Orthodox churches are painted with frescoes. Although it was not real fresco, it was a special technique that some churches do, It is a painting on big canvases in the studio, of course, and then we would mount those big paintings on canvases on the walls of the church with a very strong adhesives, with strong glues, mineral glues. And in the basement of the church we had a very great space where Daniel was painting those big canvases with the events from the Lord's life, the birth, the resurrection, the life of the saints, the life of the Virgin Mary. And then once a week we would go, we would travel with their van to Yonkers, and we would work on scaffolding. We would mount great scaffolds all the way up to the ceiling of the church, and we would mount those big canvases. It was pretty, it was not easy work. Father Macari invented a big, it was some kind of T-profile wooden stick, and first we would put a glue on the canvas, and then he would pick up canvas with this T-stick, and he would put it first, the upper part, and then we would press it to the wall with our hands all over, and then with big pieces of cotton we would hit on it, and we would make round movements and press to take off the air and to make this canvas absolutely tight to the wall. And then in those days I have realized that I have a fear, not real fear, but I do not really feel well up there, up high in on scaffolding. So, and those were, that was some old scaffold, and it was swinging all the time and trembling and moving. So I was always afraid we are going to fall down there, and we were maybe 15 or 20 meters high up there under the ceiling. But of course, Lord didn't allow anything to happen to us. And I've been learning from Daniel a lot of secrets from this beautiful, holy skill. And it was really a beautiful period of my life, praying and painting. Painting and prayer, and then Sunday's liturgies and communions. I remember those communions, those first communions, during the first year of my conversion. It was always full of energy, full of grace. Always after the communion, my heart was burning. It's not like this today. It is, that's how it goes, you know. The grace leaves after first love, after this first meeting with God. These first years are full of grace, full of happiness, full of this first love. But then slowly it goes away to teach you that it is not yours. It was just a gift. It's granted to you. Now you have to work for it. Because now you have to see that you are full of passions and that you are really filthy. And you have to work to clean yourself in a spiritual way. So that's how it happened. But I remember those communions, those first years. It was always like a fireworks in my heart. It was always like a burning of these immortal flames. And it was a period that I was not really absolutely on earth. It was something in between, between heavens and earth. And Holy Fathers say, they all agree in this particular moment, that that first grace always leaves, and then it lets you be without it for a certain period of time. Of course, never completely without it, because it would be terrible. But it teaches you that now it is a long period of fight with your sinful personality, that it was not absolutely cleansed, that it was still filthy, but it was only this first advent of God's grace. That, and now you have to work hard on it. So many Christians, they leave after this first period, when they enter this second one, which could be very long and very painful. Now, this period, Holy Fathers say, is the most important, because in this period, this dry period, as they call it, dry period, period of spiritual drought, it is most important, because in this period you show your faithfulness, your dedication to the Lord. In this period you show how really it all matters to you. And that's what I have realized after many years of this first grace, how hard it could be when you once taste the Lord, but then you stay without him. It could be very painful, but also very inspiring for fight, for struggle, for spiritual combat, for ascetical feat, to struggle with yourself, to struggle with your old personality, to struggle with your fallen nature, to acquire angelic nature. And we are all called to transfigure ourselves, to acquire gift of the Holy Spirit, and to become more than a regular man, overman, as Friedrich Nietzsche would say, overman, something which is above regular state of human nature. Of course, and unfortunately, all those before Friedrich Nietzsche, with him and after him, they always wanted to acquire this perfection, but without God, and it is absolutely impossible. We, with our powers, we cannot transform ourselves to the highest state of human nature. We can do this only acquiring of divine energy, acquiring of the very Lord, acquiring of the Holy Spirit. And through the following of all those suggestions and rules and commandments of the Lord, we acquire immortal life and this higher state of human existence. And of course, in the beginning, during this first period of God's grace, when we are filled with God's grace, and of course it all depends on our repentance, how deep do we repent, that much we receive divine energy, then divine help. And during that period, the ascetical feat, the fight with passions and all habits is not that hard. As a matter of fact, it's sometimes very easy. And in that first period of spiritual life, we could even come to the conclusion that we are actually completely new, that we cleansed ourselves and that we became new personalities, and that we are never going to go back to that old state, which is, of course, it's a gift from the Lord. But of course, it's not in real. In real, we have to deserve it. We have to show how much do we really want this. So as the time was passing by, I was thinking more and more what I'm going to do with my life. What life I'm going to choose. Because I have definitely understood that there are only two ways. Monastic life or married life. I was still not really sure yet what I'm going to choose. But I was praying to the Lord to show me which is my way, which is really my way. Once Father Makary came to me with a proposal. He was an artist as well, but he was not a painter. He worked with a gold and silver work. He used to make an adornments, an ornaments around icons. Daniel would paint an icon, and then Father Makary would do in gold and silver foil a certain artwork. It is called in French repousse, which means press from one side and then press from another side. He would work with certain tools which would have like a little ball on the point. So he would press and draw on those foils of silver and gold. Then he would also put gemstones, precious stones, and he would make a beautiful adornment to the icon. It was usually in a form of frame of the icon. Sometimes even on the garments. Sometimes he would make a garment out of precious metal. And sometimes only the face and hands would stay painted. Everything else would be done in a silver leaf. So once Father Makary told me that they had a good connection with a monastery in Pennsylvania. The monastery was called the Monastery of St. Tikhon of Zadonsk. It was in Pennsylvania, not very far away from the city of Scranton. So he told me they did a lot of metal work and icons for the church in this monastery, and especially did an altar table on all four sides of the altar table. The altar table was painted, and then metal work was mounted all over, silver, gold, and gemstones. And also there were several icons around the church, also done with this metalwork. So Father Makary told me that it would be very good that the monks called him, the Bishop Herman, who was Bishop of Pennsylvania and Philadelphia, and he was also an abbot of this monastery. He called him and he told him that it is time for cleaning the silver and brass, because there was work in brass as well. Because it oxidated a little bit, so it is a time to polish it. So Father Makary told me that if I want to go there, he would explain me how to do this. Actually, how to polish with certain special pastes this metalwork. And then he said that it would be good this time not to leave it just polished, but this time to varnish it. To put varnish on, a special strong varnish, so that this metal doesn't oxidate anymore. So it was very, very, very interesting to me, because I was looking for a certain period of rest somewhere out of Manhattan, and the idea that I'm going to spend a week in a monastery sound great to me. So I accepted with joy the proposal of Father Makary, and he gave me all the tools and materials and those special cleaning solvents and varnishes and brushes and everything. And he explained me in detail how to get to Monastery of St. Ikons of Zadonsk, to that town of Scranton. And finally I set on my way, and I found Pennsylvania, that part of Pennsylvania, as a really beautiful country. And it was that part of Pennsylvania was actually a national park protected by the government. It was like a lot of hills, not very high mountains, but very mild hills with a lot of lakes and with beaver nests on the middle of those lakes. And it was so beautiful to me, because I have never seen before in my life beavers. And a lot of trees around were cut in that very acute way, how the beaver cuts the tree, the trunk of the tree, and then he makes his house or nest, how would I say, in the lake, and they live in these little huts on the, made out of branches and tree trunks, of course small ones. So when I came there, I met monks, and especially Father Nicodemus. He was we became really good friends during that week that I stayed there. He was a chemistry professor, and when he became Orthodox Christian, he decided that he wants to be a monk. So he came there, and he became a monk, and his obedience was taking care of church. So that's why we became more close than I became more close to him more than other monks, because he was in charge of church and I was in the church. My job was cleaning those icons in the church. And we became really very close. And during that week, he was telling me a lot about monastic life, because I wanted to know about it. And especially it was very important to me, those church services. And I have realized how important and how necessary it was to me to attend a church service. Because back there in Manhattan, New York, I would go to church only once a week, sometimes twice a week, but it was very seldom. Usually during the year it was only Saturdays, and Sundays and Saturday evenings. But the most important service for me was, of course, Sunday liturgy, Holy Liturgy. Or Holy Mass, how it is said in West. But now, in a monastery, there was a church service and the liturgy every day. Every single day there was a Holy Liturgy. And I didn't know it is something that could be in reality. I thought the Holy Liturgy is only Sunday, because the Holy Resurrection of Christ was Sundays. But no, monastery life is dedicated basically to the Holy Liturgy. And the Holy Liturgy is a central part of the day. And of course, it's not only a Holy Liturgy. There is a Matins, that's how this service is called. And the church service was usually started at 5 o'clock in the morning. The matins lasted for about 2 hours, and the Holy Liturgy would start 7 o'clock a.m. And it would last until, let's say, 8 or even 8:20, 8:30. It all depends of the day. And so I was faced with the fact that every day I was attending church for at least 3 hours in the morning and 1 hour in the evening for the Vespers. So it was, I have realized how important it was to me to be so often in the church and to attend the church services, standing in the back of the church and praying all the time. And the singing, the chanting, church chanting was beautiful. And it was based on the Russian way of singing, a Russian church chanting. And it was so so beautiful, so touching, you know. Very often I would cry, I would weep, but out of immense happiness and consolation and real hope that salvation is something real, and that salvation of the human soul, not only in eternity, but in this life, is something so real, something that you can really acquire. And during that week, I have made a decision that definitely I have to come back in the monastery of St. Ikon of Zadonsk and to spend there, let's say, at least 1 month, and definitely to see whether I am for a monastic life or not. During that week, it was absolutely beautiful time to me, and not only in the church, not only in the monastery, but I was having long walks during the day when I was free from my work, from my cleaning work of the icons, and I would walk far away from the monastery, and I would reach those lakes, and it was so beautiful to be out there in the nature after almost 4 years being in the middle of steel and concrete of Manhattan. So I would be alone in the nature with animals, with big freshwater turtles and birds and all those interesting water insects and rabbits. And there were also bears, a lot of bears. I was really, a few times I was so frightened to see a bear not far away from me. But they were not dangerous. They would just flee away when they would see me. And I would sit by the shore of one of those lakes, and I would pray to the Lord, and I was so immersed deeply into the prayer, and I was so connected to the nature. That week was really very, very important to me, and I have made a strong decision that I had to come back and stay 1 month, and definitely to make decision what way of life I am going to choose. So, very joyful and very satisfied, I went back to New York, and I gave a complete report to Father Makary and Daniel what I have done in monastery church. So they were very satisfied, and so my life continued. In the meantime, I made my first contracts. I received first orders for icons, because those Orthodox Christians who were attending this church, a cathedral of the Protection of the Holy Virgin, they sometimes they would order an icon from Daniel. And then after 6 months, Daniel came to conclusion that now I'm ready to paint an icon by myself. Of course, you could realize it's a work of a beginner, but still he said they have this purity of a naive painter, and I'm sure that those faithful people from the church, they would like an icon from you. Of course, your price will be much lower than mine, but if you agree, we can take a few orders from people from the church. And I said, well, Daniel, if you think so, I will accept, but I'm really not feeling ready yet. He said, no, I will help you. So I made my first icons, and I made my first income from icons. Of course, even Daniel, as a professional, he never made too high prices, because It was a spiritual work. But of course, he was living from it. You know, you have to live from something. And icon painting was a perfect medium to make money and to give somebody, to make somebody happy, to give somebody, to have an icon in his home and to have a living contact with a saint or with a Lord or with Virgin Mary, and at the same time to make a living from it. And of course, Daniel was really modest, and his prices were very, very, very real and very, how should I say, very popular. And after those few icons of mine, I have realized that I really have a skill to be an icon painter. Of course, I knew that I have to progress much, much more. I have to learn more. I have to go deeper into the science of it, into the secrets of icon painting. But Daniel was very non-selfish in this, and he was giving me all his knowledge. He didn't cover, he didn't keep anything for him. He was giving me his complete knowledge, and he was really a very, very good Christian in this way. So finally, when I managed to do certain things that I was obliged to, not only in the church, but some other things that I was obliged to do in my apartment and with some friends of mine, then finally I asked Father Macari that if he could arrange again my stay in this monastery in Pennsylvania, this time if it would be possible to be a whole month. So Father Macari was surprised with my idea, but in a good manner. He was, he was monk by himself, and he was, of course, he knew how monastic life is a beautiful way of living. Although Daniel, he didn't agree when he realized that I'm thinking about monastic life. He wanted me to be his apprentice and his friend and his partner, so we could live together. We could paint together churches and icons as well, to make a little a common painting studio, and even to make to have new pupils and to make a real icon painting studio and to live out from it. So he was, in the very beginning, he was against my going to the monastery, but of course he was not very strict in that. But he was more like begging me, "Atsa, please do not leave me. Do not become monk. Don't go to the monastery. Stay with me in New York." I said, "Daniel, my friend, I don't know. Let it be God's will." So finally, I have prepared a big plywood board. I have prepared it with gesso, and I have planned that to make a very big icon. It was like a meter and a half by meter, a big plywood board. So I have planned to make an icon of a Lord Transfiguration on the Mount Tabor. To me, that feast day, that event from the Holy Gospel was extremely important to me. Of this uncreated divine light was very important to me because I was witness of this enlightenment. And I was witness of this transfiguration of mind that was taking place in my life. So this event from the Gospel had very strong meaning to myself. And I have prepared this big board. I have prepared acrylic paints, brushes, pictures of this event. So finally, I set on my way to Pennsylvania. I had great expectations from this stay in the monastery. And about this, I will talk in our next meeting. Until then, goodbye.
Thank you for listening Radio Svetigora, the radio station of the Serbian Orthodox Church, Diocese of Montenegro and the Seaside. Blessed by His High Eminence, Metropolitan Amphilochia.
fat bird cannot fly high.